Papa, thank you for the cry that you've placed in our heart for more. Lord, we want more. Thank you for the word that's been spoken over this church, that we are a prophetic church. So, Lord, thank you that we are becoming a people who know what it is to hear your voice, who know what it is to flow in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, who know what it is to sense where you're moving, Holy Spirit. And Lord, not only that we are sensitive people, but we are courageous people. Lord, we want to be a people who will dare to go beyond the structure and dare to go beyond the norm and the known. Lord, because we want more of you. We want more of you. We want more of your presence in our meetings. So Lord, I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness for us as a people. Lord, that we will be a people who know the sound of your voice. And a people who will follow after you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Before the meeting, I was reading a prophetic word that Diane brought to me. It's actually a word that was spoken by Steve Backlund's team over Pursuit Church at a conference that was held at Liberty. And John and Diane were there, and Ray and I were there, and we've just finally got that word, and I was starting to read it before service. I had to stop myself because it was the service, because much of it I had forgotten. But one of the little bits that I read, it spoke about the fire of God being on us as a people, and that people will see the fire on us. There is a passion that's in this place for God. Not God in a box, but God outside of a box. God being free to be God. And who realizes that it's a little bit overwhelming when God is fully God? He's much bigger than us. But what an adventure. And he invites us to join him on that adventure. So the series that we're doing at the moment is all about learning to listen from our inner man and learning to flow with that. Because I find that a lot of people in the body of Christ want to play safe. But God wants us to flow.
I saw we are wearing T-shirt and saying we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power and the salvation. And so I saw that we are all wearing it, walking around. It's not only us but other people. And then when you said that we have fire, I saw the angel when we were worshiping, he's going on love fire, love fire. Love fire on each one of us. So awesome. That's encouraging.
Awesome.
So we have the love fire.
That's awesome. Just bless her for being courageous to step out. Because I want to speak more about that this morning. While we were in the prayer meeting, one of the things that I saw was I saw God breaking shackles off people's feet. And that many times we don't step out like we know we should. Who can say, yes, that's me? Okay, I am preaching to the right crowd this morning. Well, as I said, we're doing a series on moving in the things of the Spirit. And I'm going to look at two verses together just to recap, because some of you haven't been here the previous weeks. So hopefully you'll pick up where we have been with two verses. Well, two passages of scripture, and then we're going to jump into some other stuff. So let's pick up. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are spirit, soul, and body. Notice the order. Most of us think body, soul, and way inside there is a spirit. No, you are first and foremost a spirit who lives in a body, and you have a soul. Now, the Bible also talks of us as being an inward man and an outward man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Verse 18, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We've got seen and unseen. We've got the outward man, we've got the inward man. And to recap what we've been talking about, seeing the unseen is normal Christianity. We are made to see the spirit realm. The reason it's called unseen is because our natural eyes cannot see it, but our spiritual eyes can. Second thing to throw in there from here, living from the unseen keeps us strong. Notice in verse 16 it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." And a lot of Christians lose heart or become faint, and they lose their strength because they're just looking at the natural realm. If you just look at your bills, at your needs, at the relationships that need help, at everything in the natural level, you will lose heart. If you want to be strong as a believer, we need to be seeing the unseen. Good, I've got an amen from somebody. Okay, those were the things that we were talking about last time, and we're going to move on from there. Okay, John 10 verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Who would agree that believers follow Jesus? I see some hands. Okay, you would agree that that's normal for believers to follow Jesus, okay? Who would agree that Jesus knows us? I got more yeses on that one. Yeah, we're confident in the fact that Jesus knows us as believers. What about the fact that we hear his voice? Not such a hearty yes. And I think there's many believers that are questioning that. Do I really hear God's voice? Well, I would encourage you to have a look at the pastor's pen, not now, but have a look at it later. Because I speak in there about God's voice. God's first language is not English. It's not Korean or Chinese, though there's lots of Chinese. It's not Russian. It's not any language. God's first language is not words. And many times we miss God because we think that we are meant to just hear words. But your spirit man is like your physical body man. He has eyes, he has ears, he has the ability to sense, even to taste and to smell. The verse that we looked at in Corinthians talked about seeing the unseen. Okay? So that's, we have the ability to see with our spirit, right? No good me, you're not on that one. Okay. John speaks of us hearing. My sheep hear my voice. So we're meant to be able to hear, right? Okay. Seeing and hearing are two of the main ways we perceive things in the spirit. But there is also just a knowing. And we're going to look at Jesus saying here in Mark 2 verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Was in their hearts, there was no word spoken. But Jesus perceived in his spirit. It was a knowing that he had. In fact, let me introduce you to two Greek words. The first one is gnosko, means to know by experience. So in Ephesians, where it talks about us knowing the love of God, which goes beyond our understanding, it uses that word. For us to just know in our mind that God loves us is nothing compared to knowing by experience that God loves us. Okay. But the word perceived is not that one. It's epignosō, which is a strengthened form of that. And it means to know fully. And sometimes what we pick up in the realm of the spirit, sometimes people are really good at seeing things in the realm of the spirit. Okay, we had Lucy come and she talked about what she saw. Other people are really good at hearing in the realm of the spirit, and they will tell you things that they hear. For others, there's just this knowing. You don't know how you know, you just know. And it's this that Jesus was doing when he was knowing what was happening inside these men. Okay, so we're going to move on from this. And we're going to do an exercise together. Now, especially if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, I don't want anybody going, oh, help, not sure how to do this. Well, let me encourage you. I'm assuming, number one, that we're all born again here. If you don't know Jesus, then talk to us at the end because we would love to introduce you to him. But one of the things that Clark Taylor talks about, and some of you are familiar with Clark Taylor. Clark Taylor, man, grew up very strong in the use of his mind. He started a business from a young age, so very strong mentally, and some of you guys can relate to that. When he started to move in the realm of the spirit, he wanted to be able to move past his mind and start to hear by his spirit. So what he did to help himself with that was he would see himself get inside an elevator, push the button and go down, past the mind to the spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about using our imagination. See, some of you are at the stage where you can just listen to your spirit. And that's fine, it's easy for you. Others, you find it hard. And especially if you're used to being run by your mind and your reasoning and your understanding, it can be hard to get past that level to actually pick up what you are sensing in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? Okay, other ways that you can do it. Let me throw some more pictures up there for you. Some people, like I have had you just visualize yourself sitting in your favorite chair or that God spot, a place that you can just relax and enjoy and picture yourself relating to the Lord. Other people see it like opening a door. Just open the door and I just step into that spirit realm. Or for some people, it's like walking into a garden. Remember, you live in a body. You have a soul, but you are a spirit. So it is natural for you to hear things in the realm of the spirit. It's natural for you to see things in the realm of the spirit. But we are often not aware because we are living on this physical soul realm area that we are not tuning in to what is happening at the spirit level. Making sense? So what we're going to do, in fact, let me throw this quote up by Chris Vallotton, just in case you think I'm really off the rails this morning. The Holy Spirit draws on the blackboard of our imagination. That's why we started this whole series by talking about our imagination. Because if we have shut our imagination down, we will struggle sensing what is happening in the spirit realm. That's why our imagination needs to be active. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that in just in case some of you are thinking, oh, where's this woman going? Well, where we're going is we're going to have a look at a scripture and I am going to get you to take that scripture or take a question, and I've given you both, and I want you to spend a couple of moments just relating with the Lord from your spirit. Now, some of you may need to be like Clark Taylor and just see yourself getting in that elevator. Okay, mind, I'm just leaving you behind at the moment and I'm going to tune into my spirit. Others of you will probably get there quite quickly. Some of you are probably used to having a conversation with the Lord, especially if you've gone through Mark Holloway's Freedom Diaries. Who's read that? Okay, quite a few of you. Some of you are probably used to just having that conversation and listening for the Lord to respond. Others of you, you may actually find it easier to use the strength of your imagination to take something and start to visualize it, especially if you don't think you hear God. And this is why I'm going to give you a scripture. See, let me put it up for you. It's a scripture that I mentioned before, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're not used to tuning in to your spirit, then you can take that scripture and by your imagination just sit in the presence of God and say, what would it look like to be filled with the presence of God, and let your imagination start to tell you what that would look and feel like. Is that making sense? Okay, we're going to spend 5 minutes, either take the scripture or ask Jesus the question, and then we'll come back in 5 minutes and let's take a couple of minutes to share. Who saw something? Okay, yeah, I'm seeing some hands. Good. Who heard something? Slightly more hands. So more actually heard than saw. Okay? Who just didn't hear or didn't see, they just kind of felt or knew something. Quite a few of you. Who found this relatively easy? Most of you. Who found it hard? Anybody? Couple of hands. Good. Thank you for being honest. One of the scriptures that we talked about last week was about having our senses exercised. In other words, practicing. It's in Hebrews 5. We need to practice. And the more you practice, the easier it becomes. Now, getting something for ourselves, it really is just a fairly small step from there to getting something for somebody else. That makes sense? Okay. So we're going to start with a demo now. I want a volunteer who will give a prophetic word to come and sit on the front chair up the front here. I've got a volunteer? Nobody. Okay, one person that will come and sit up the front here, sit by Ray on the front row. Okay, Kevin's a man. Now, I'm going to prophesy over him shortly. The reason I've got him to sit down is because I want to talk to you first about what happens. Okay. First thing that happens is that you become aware that you have a soul. Because your soul will start talking. See, right now, I'm hearing my natural voice, but I'm also hearing some other voices. And one of those voices is my soul. Now, I've been doing this for a while, so I've learned to quieten my soul a little bit. But it's still talking, and I can still hear it. And it's saying things like, "You're stupid. What do you think you're doing? You're going to publicly prophesy over this guy sitting up the front. You're going to make yourself look stupid." As I said before, we are a body, we are a spirit, but we have a soul. And I can tell you right now, your soul will not be quiet. Your soul is going to start talking, and it's going to start talking loud on the inside. What it says is going to often be determined, number one, by your personality. If you're a D personality, you're going to start to think, "Oh, well, where's this going to lead? Oh, help." If you're a C personality, hope you're familiar with DISC, you're going to think, "Oh, no, what if I get it wrong?" If you're an I personality, you're more likely to think, "Oh, what are they going to think of me? I'm just going to make a fool of myself in front of all these people." If you're an S personality, you're more likely to think, "Run. Just get out of there." Anybody identify with one of those? The other thing that talks from our soul is our wounds. You've got your personality and you've got your wounds. Now, if you have been publicly humiliated, your soul will scream louder. Hello? Or let's say that you stepped out in church years and years ago and you brought a prophetic word and you were told that it was wrong or it was the wrong timing or you're the wrong person or whatever. Every time you get something, guess what? Your soul will not be silent. Your soul will start talking to you. Oh, don't do that. You can't do that. Anybody with me this morning? Yeah, I'm getting some nods all around the room. See, years ago, I preached a message called The Second Voice. Often we'll get something from God, and that's great. But then there's a second voice that will come, and it's the voice of our soul that starts to shout on the inside. And because we don't recognize that it's merely our soul saying, I'm scared, I'm not sure I want to do this, and we don't know how to deal with our soul, we don't step out. See, how many of us have been to prophetic conferences? Can I see your hand? How many of us have been to conferences on moving in the gifts? How many of us have found that we will do that for a couple of weeks and then we stop? Why? We revert back to the level of our inner world. And until we learn to deal with our inner world, we won't step out and give what God gives us. We'll do things like say, oh yeah, I think that's just for me. Who's done that? I've seen nods all around the room. You get something, oh yeah, that's just for me. It's not for anybody else in the room. Nobody else would need that. It's just for me. That's your soul just being scared stiff and saying, play safe, and just say, thanks God, that's for me, but no, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to get up the front. I'm not going to risk making a fool of myself. Just nod if you're up with me. What defeats us most is what is happening on the inside, in our own heart. That's why many times we have to go and we have to deal with the wounds that are on the inside. See, your wounds have lies attached to them. Lies that will tell you you're not good enough or you shouldn't do that. And those lies will be vocal. See, we haven't even spoken about the demonic yet. We're just talking about our own soul. See, most of us will recognize the devil's voice. It's always a voice of accusation. The devil will tell you what you are not. God will tell you what you are. That's a big key to know the difference for a start off. The devil will tell you about your failures. He will tell you about your weaknesses. He will tell you about those wounds that you have. Why? Because can anyone tell me what prophecy is for? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, the prophetic is to build people up, call them closer to God, and comfort them and make them strong. Do you think the devil wants that to happen? No. Of course he doesn't. The devil hates the prophetic because it strengthens the body of Christ. We have to learn to recognize the voices. And we have to learn to deal with the voices. If it's a demonic voice, you'll know it by its fruit and you just command it to go in Jesus' name. If it's your own soul, though, and that, I think, is a level that most of us are dealing with. We're dealing with the soul realm. You just speak to your soul and tell it it's okay. Don't be led by your soul. Oh, thank you. I just want to see before I move on if there's something else here I want to know. I mentioned before about going to prophetic conferences. I think one of the tragedies is that when we do things like that, because we're hungry to move in the things of the Spirit, we go and we do it for a while, then we revert back to the level of our inner man. But that isn't the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy is that from that place, we have this attitude of, oh yeah, I know that. Heard that before. So our mind, our soul is saying, yeah, know that, move on. And all the while, our spirit is grieving because our spirit yearns to move in the things of God. And knowledge has not become experience. Therefore, we feel like we've failed. And I believe that the body of Christ is full of people who have huge knowledge and yet are so hungry on the inside. But they don't recognize the difference between their soul realm and what they know in their head and what they hunger for in their heart. And we have not learned to simply talk to our soul and say, soul, be still. It's okay. And then listen to the Spirit. So all of us have to do that. So I said I've been doing this for a while. My soul still speaks. Okay? So my natural body is speaking. My soul is speaking and saying, move the other way. You don't have to do this yet. Just keep talking. Girl, why are you going to do this? And again, I have to tell my soul, it's okay, we will survive this. And then I have to start listening for my spirit. But when our soul's really loud, it's hard for us to listen to our spirit. Now, right now, I haven't got anything for Kevin. Okay? Too busy talking to you guys. And too busy letting my soul be loud. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to move beyond the soul and we have to tap into the spirit. And we have to pick up the difference between the two. Okay? Now right now, I've just had one fleeting little thought go through. It's actually a little picture and it's a wheelbarrow. It's like, great, a wheelbarrow. So what am I going to do with a wheelbarrow? Now, I could say, Kevin, you're a wheelbarrow. I don't really think that's going to be encouraging for Kevin, okay? So I've got the picture, and what you've got, you have what God gives you, and then you have beyond that. And many times again, because we just get something like a wheelbarrow, and we go, oh, that's stupid. We don't say anything more. We just pass it off. I saw a wheelbarrow. Great. What we have to do is we have to take that to the Lord and we start this communication with the Lord. Why a wheelbarrow? Why am I seeing a wheelbarrow? Where is the wheelbarrow? Okay. Is it a pretty wheelbarrow in a garden filled with flowers? Is it one of those wheelbarrows? We have one of those on our deck. No. I don't see that. What I'm seeing is I'm seeing a wheelbarrow at a construction site. Okay, God, why a wheelbarrow at a construction site? What does that mean? Okay, so I can start to get an idea of what that means. And often we will go back up to our reasoning. Oh, yeah. Wheelbarrow, building site, construction, working hard. You're a hard worker. Can you see how we can kick back into our soul? Because our soul If you let it, we'll help you out. Especially if you want this to be over real quick. It's like, okay, you're a hard worker, Kevin. God bless you. But we need to take it beyond that and say, okay, Lord, why the wheelbarrow? Why the construction site? What is it? What are you saying? And it's something either that God is calling Kevin to, okay? And immediately I get a word, builder, okay? What's God saying? And I get the word builder. Okay, so I'm getting a little bit more now. So again, you have to push in with a little that you've got and say, God, what does that mean? Give me more. Very seldom do I find God gives me the whole prophecy at once. When I first started out, yes, he did. And then what happened when I didn't give it was that prophetic word never went away. I can still tell you prophetic words that I have for people that I never gave from years and years ago. One I can remember that goes back, be 1979, and I still have that prophetic word, and I could still tell you it. God wants us to be able to be delivery boys and not say, find yourself another delivery boy, but push in and have the courage to let God use you. Okay, so to come back to Kevin. So I see you as one that is going to build. You're going to be one who's not afraid to go onto the building site and deal with the raw materials. You're not looking for the finished product. You're one who will say, help me build where you're at. You're one who will get your hands dirty. You're one who will come alongside and say, I see you as one that's been dealing with a shovel and trying to move things. Here, let me come alongside and help you. And you're going to be one who's going to see others around you being built strong. And they're not going to be small little houses. They're going to be skyscrapers. I see you building in that strength into ministries and not just individuals. Okay? That's what came out of me seeing a wheelbarrow. Does that make sense? Okay? You've got to be faithful with what God gives you. But for most of us, the big challenge is recognizing it's something that God has given us and not shutting it down because of our soul realm. Okay? That sit fine for you?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, that's a question that's good to ask. Most of us, especially if we're something like an S personality or a C personality, we don't want to ask. We will just give the word and run. Okay, now it's your turn. Don't worry, most of you will be relieved that we're running out of time. But I want you to simply go back to that realm, and you may need to use your imagination to get there, and simply ask the Lord, let's go back. We'll go back to that one. Simply ask the Lord, what is it that you would like me to share with somebody else? Something nice you want to say. I'll give you a couple of minutes and then we'll get a couple of people to share something.